What's news from the Wall Street Journal? Top stories and timely insights.
I'm Charlie Turner in New York. With a new round of trade talks starting, the Trump administration is proposing changes to the North American Free Trade Agreement. The Wall Street Journal's Jacob Schlesinger will join us. First, these top stories. Sources tell the Wall Street Journal that the Russian government has converted Kaspersky software into a tool for spying. Moscow reportedly used the popular Russian-made antivirus software program to secretly scan computers around the world for classified U.S. government documents and top-secret information. The Journal reported last week that Russian hackers used Kaspersky software in 2015 to target a contractor working for the National Security Agency. The International Monetary Fund said some of the world's largest financial institutions, including Deutsche Bank, Citigroup, Barclays, and a few Japanese institutions, could struggle in coming years to remain sufficiently profitable. That's according to an IMF report released ahead of the fund's annual meeting in Washington. In a statement, the IMF said institutions that are not profitable might not be able to generate enough capital in the future should adverse shocks hit. The Boy Scouts of America said Wednesday that it would welcome girls into its ranks, a move that could help the organization boost its numbers in the face of dwindling memberships. The organization said in a statement that it made the decision after years of requests from girls and their families to join the Boy Scouts. It said it determined that busy families want just one organization for both boys and girls. The move came in a unanimous decision by the Boy Scouts Board of Directors. On Thursday's economic schedule, the government's September producer price index and the latest weekly first-time jobless claims figures. The earnings calendar includes JPMorgan Chase, Citigroup, and Domino's Pizza. Federal Reserve Governor Jerome Powell is scheduled to make a speech. Next up, North American trade talks get underway. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening, everyone. The latest round of talks on remaking the North American Free Trade Agreement is getting underway in Washington. As a candidate, Donald Trump called NAFTA a disaster and has since indicated a desire to either scuttle the pact or severely alter it. The Wall Street Journal says the Trump administration has honed its strategy for remaking NAFTA by proposing some specific ways to water down the agreement and reduce its influence on companies. They've prompted a backlash from Mexico and Canada and from business groups in all three countries ahead of the new round of talks. Joining us from Washington is Wall Street Journal reporter Jacob Schlesinger. Jake, NAFTA has been in effect since 1994. Why don't you tell us about some of the proposals that trade officials have made to change NAFTA?
Sure. First, just a broader context. As you say, NAFTA has been in effect since 1994, and there's debate about whether it's been good or bad for the United States or for the other countries, but I think there is no debate that it has had a tremendous impact on the continental economy. It has lowered barriers and really integrated the region in a way, significant ways that they weren't before. So starting with that sort of given, the question is whether you think that was a good or bad thing for the United States. Most business groups, big business groups, most of the politicians who have favored trade over the last quarter century all think that's good. The Trump administration, the president at least, and his trade representative, Robert Lighthizer, think that has largely been to the bad. So what they've done is put forth a series of proposals that essentially would, if accepted, would water down all the things that NAFTA was intended to do. In some ways, the most significant and really telling is they want to impose a sunset clause, or what they call a performance review clause, which essentially says that the pact would expire after 5 years unless the three countries affirmatively renewed it. What businesses say is that that would create a huge amount of uncertainty and devalue the pact in their eyes, as in right now. If you think NAFTA is there forever, you invest for 30 years with a 30-year time horizon. If you think there's a chance NAFTA goes away in 5 years, you're less inclined to plan around it. And I think that, as much as anything, kind of captures the mentality of what the Trump people are trying to do.
Well, you write that another proposal would be to weaken or eliminate mechanisms aimed at settling disputes between the three countries.
Yes, there are three main ones. Two involve government-to-government disputes. One of those, the administration has said they want to eliminate outright. And again, what their view, and this isn't just true of NAFTA, but in general, and it applies to the WTO as well, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said this in a speech recently, is they generally don't feel like it is good for the United States to take trade disputes with other countries to a third party. They think they should be either negotiated between the countries or the U.S., with its large market, can use its leverage to kind of, you know, threaten, negotiate, or cajole to get the concessions it wants. The third one is quite interesting and important, particularly for businesses, which is something called the investor-state dispute settlement process, which is a relatively new idea, relatively it's a couple decades old, but has really become part of the global commercial system, and it does allow businesses to sue states in a trade context and get relief. The idea behind that in particular is that when a company is trying to decide whether to invest in an emerging market like Mexico, particularly as Mexico was when NAFTA started, where the legal system is not as necessarily as predictable or as advanced or transparent as, say, the United States and Canada, the investor-state dispute settlement process gives you, as an executive, more confidence that you can invest there without risking your property rights. Again, that's something that the Trump administration says they want to weaken, and in part because they say, why should we be giving incentives and making it easier, in a sense, for U.S. companies to invest abroad?
Some of these other proposals seem to revolve around federal projects and spending. Why don't you talk about that?
So another big proposal, and this one the administration actually put forth in some form during the last round, which took place in Ottawa in September, was to change the rules among the three countries for government procurement. Right now, the ideal behind NAFTA and really behind any trade agreements that have a procurement clause is that you give parallel access, or what was called in that context a reciprocity, where essentially the U.S. is saying, look, 80% of our federal budget is open to non-U.S. bidders, and the Canadians and Mexicans would say the same. What the Trump people say is that's not really reciprocal, because the U.S. budget is so much bigger than Canada's and Mexico's, is we want a dollar-for-dollar proposal. That is, we will only open up the dollar value to foreign bidding that Mexico and Canada do. And people who've looked at the numbers say that would literally be a reduction in about 90% of the federal procurement that would be available for trading partners.
And also another pending proposal, you write, would require for the first time that certain products contain not just a certain level of NAFTA regional content, but also U.S.-specific content.
Correct. And they've put that forth specifically, or they will be putting that forth specifically for the automotive sector. And in that context, what they're saying is that they, you know, NAFTA right now, the whole point of NAFTA when it was created was to create a more integrated regional economy, to create, and it succeeded by these lights and succeeded by the goals of the creators in creating regional supply chains where you looked at your whole production system not as a national system, but as a regional system. So the whole point was to say you need a certain amount of regional content, but we're not going to specify where in the region it comes from. The Trump administration is saying, well, you know, that has worked to the disadvantage of the United States. We need to have a certain portion of autos, 50%, that comes specifically from inside the United States, which goes against the grain intentionally of one of the core goals of NAFTA, which is regionalism, not nationalism.
Who is participating in these talks?
In the United States, it's led by the U.S. Trade Representative's Office, Robert Lighthizer, the U.S. Trade Representative. In Mexico, there's an economy minister, Guajardo, who has the trade portfolio. And in Canada, Chrystia Freeland, who is actually has the two portfolios of foreign minister and trade minister, is handling those. But the people who are sort of the chief negotiators are people who are career trade diplomats. In the U.S., it's a guy named John Melly, who's been with USTR for three decades. And so, yes, it's mainly handled by the trade ministries or agencies in each country, although, you know, depending on the subjects, they do bring in experts from departments, whether it's agriculture or elsewhere.
And they're taking place this week in Washington. How long will they last?
Well, that's actually a really good question. So they're doing this in a series of rounds. The kickoff round was in August in Washington. What they had originally said is they want to do rounds of roughly 5 days every 3 weeks with the aim of seven rounds before the end of the year. So this is round four. It starts actually not literally in Washington, D.C., but in suburban Virginia, just outside Washington in Pentagon City. It starts Wednesday. Originally, it was scheduled to go through Sunday, October 15th, they announced that they were actually going to extend them 2 days and take them through Tuesday, October 17th, and that the principals, the three people I mentioned, Ambassador Lighthizer, Ministers Friedland and Guajardo, officially are not going to meet until next Tuesday, the 17th.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jacob Schlesinger joining us from Washington. Thanks a lot, Jake.
Thank you.
And finally, teenagers and their parents may finally have something to talk about. In a semi-annual survey of teens by Piper Jaffray, some 82% of U.S. teenagers expect their next phone to be Apple's iPhone, an increase from 81% in spring 2017 and a survey record. In a survey of adults by marketing platform Fluent, a similar percentage of older people, 79%, also want the latest iPhone. Maybe kids and their parents can FaceTime and iMessage each other. But teens and older folk part ways on social media. 47% of teens prefer Snapchat, while Facebook is the social media platform for 79% of adults. And that's What's News. I'm Charlie Turner at the Wall Street Journal.